Happy Spooky Month, and Happy Saturday, or whenever it is, to all of you listeners and lovers of cartoons. Welcome to Kelby's Cartoon Corner, the show where all October long we'll be discussing the best of Halloween cartoons. From creepy cartoons to Halloween specials, and by we, I mean me, Kelby, alone in my bedroom so I don't have to kick my roommate out of the house every time that I record. I don't know what the weather is like wherever you live for Spooky Month, but in the Midwest of the USA, it is quite chilly at 2:30 a.m. on this lovely Thursday. Technically it's a Friday morning. Tomorrow night it's supposed to be like 35 degrees Fahrenheit. So I've got me a nice cup of tea. I've had my first slice of pumpkin pie of the season. It's been a good month so far, and it's only October 1st, so it's only going to get better from here, right? It's gotta get better from here. Alright, so to kick off this month of spooky shows, this week we're covering all of the regular show Halloween specials, which are named Terror Tales of the Park. I've been super excited for this episode since I covered regular show back in June. Regular show in general doesn't follow a really hard plot until season 7 or 8, so the Halloween specials are definitely something that you can jump around and watch as standalone episodes, and they're the perfect way to I was on a really good roll right there. They're the perfect way to kick off a month of scary storytelling. So if it is Saturday when you're listening, I hope you have some comfy pants and snacks. I mean, regardless of what day it is, I hope you have comfy pants and snacks, but, you know, especially if it's Saturday. But no matter what day it is, get comfy, grab a snack, and let's get spooky. I have been itching to do this episode since the first episode of the podcast back in June. I almost did a bonus episode about this, but I decided that it would be a great way to kick off October, so I saved it. Regular show just has so much great stuff, and the Halloween specials are one of the best parts of the whole show. Terror Tales started in season 3 and continued through season 8, so there are 6 episodes total. I decided that the easiest way for me to talk about all of them was to rank every individual story from worst to best. Every episode, except for season 7, has 3 separate stories throughout the whole episode. A normal episode of regular show is 11 minutes, but the Terror Tales episodes are 22 minutes, so there's plenty of time to hash out all the scary stories. So, altogether, there are 19 scary stories through the 6 seasons that this special aired, and I'm going to give my opinions on them, ranking them from worst to best. So 19 being the worst, and then number 1 being the best, obviously. I tried to take into account what was happening in the episode as a whole when the stories were being told when I did my ranking, and honestly, a few of them could be interchangeable, but I've watched these 6 episodes on a loop for like a week, so I'm pretty confident in my list. Until we get down to like the bottom, I guess the top 10, I'm kind of like, meh, because a lot of those could be interchangeable, but we will talk about that when we get there. So, let's start off with number 19, which is Payback. This story is from Terror Tales 2, so it's happening in season 4. In this episode, the crew is headed to a big Halloween party, and they're telling scary stories to pass the time. Mordecai tells the first story, and honestly, it's just not great. He accidentally pushes his uncle into a bowling ball machine, retriever thingy, the thing that brings the bowling balls back. I don't know what that machine is called. I'm sure it has a name. I'm not an avid bowler. I don't know. But anyway, he, like, Michael Jackson moonwalks backwards into his uncle and, like, shoves him into this bowling ball receiver machine thing, and it like sucks him in and he dies. And so then over the next couple of days, Mordecai is feeling really guilty for pressuring everybody into playing this extra game of bowling, and he starts to see his dead uncle, and like that's pretty much it. Like, he just hallucinates and thinks that he's seeing his dead uncle, but he's not. Well, he is. That's not true. He is seeing his dead uncle because he came back from the grave because he borrowed $5 from Mordecai right before he died, and that he was trying to pay him back. And so it's just him chasing Mordecai down for the rest of the episode, and he's just like, meh. So, like, again, I don't know. There's nothing wrong with this story. It just doesn't do anything for me. It's fine, but something about it is missing a lot of the regular show magic that a lot of these other stories have. Again, it's fine. It's just not my favorite, and something had to be at the bottom, so this is it. This is the bottom. Number 18 is Where Pops. This story is from season 7. In this episode, Benson rents a machine that shows you what your life would be like if your greatest wish came true, but like really scary. So this is the only episode that has 4 stories instead of just 3. It's still a full 22-minute episode, but it has 4 stories, so there's an extra story in there. Also, since this is the first story that I'm covering from season 7, I just want to point out that Eileen is dressed as Kiki from the Studio Ghibli, depending on how you pronounce it, the movie Kiki's Delivery Service, and it took me an embarrassingly long amount of time to spot it. Like, I literally watched this episode probably about 10 times, and on the 10th time, I was like, oh, that's Kiki. So it took me a long time to figure it out, but I did finally see it, and now it's my new favorite thing, so I'm going to tell anyone who will listen that Eileen is dressed as Kiki, because I think that's really cute. So, let's get into this story. Let me just say up top that I like this episode as a whole. This episode has that classic regular show energy. Only in regular show would something like this happen. I just don't like this story. I mean, it's Pops' wish, and Racky the Wishmaker is supposed to be really scary, but Pops isn't even scared of this wish, and to me, that means it's just not good. So, anyway, we're gonna get into the story. So Pops wishes that he could travel more, and Racky shows him a scenario where all the park employees get jury duty together on Halloween. The trial is against a werewolf who is accused of murder, and they're getting ready to issue a verdict when Pops asks if he can go to the bathroom, and the judge lets him go. So the werewolf asks if he can go too. And so they're in the bathroom together, and the werewolf turns Pops into a werewolf, and then he escapes. When they come back out, now it's Pops on trial, and he convinces everybody that he's innocent, but Skip says that they should just have fun with this and see what happens. So they say that he's guilty, and Pops runs away to the airport. Pops jumps on a plane, and he heads for London, and when the plane takes off, we see that it's full of werewolves, and they play Werewolves of London, the song. So when Pops comes back from his dream, or wish, whatever, he's singing that song. Again, it's a clever story and a fun episode overall. I just don't really love this story. Literally every other story that anyone tells, Pops is absolutely terrified, but this is the one, maybe because it's his, like he's watching it, I don't know, but this is the only one where Pops thinks it's fun instead of being afraid, and that for me is kind of a knock, because if Pops is afraid of everything and he's not afraid of this one, it's just not that scary. And it's not like I'm necessarily ranking these on like a level of scariness. I don't really know what my rubric is. I just, that one is not my favorite, so that's it. That's pretty much all this podcast is anyway. It's pretty arbitrary. It's just my opinions about things. So number 17 is Killer Bed. This story is from season 5. In this episode, everyone is betting their Halloween candy that they can tell the best scary story. Whoever wins gets the pot, and whoever loses has to wear their costume until Thanksgiving. Spoiler alert, it's Thomas the Intern. This is an episode that is one of the things... What? I really gotta start reading these scripts before I start recording, but y'all, I just finished this script like 10 minutes before I started recording this episode, so... And it's 2:30 a.m. on now a Friday morning, and this has to go up on Saturday, so you're welcome. Okay, this is an episode that is one of the things that makes regular show so good. Sure, sometimes crazy stuff happens at the park, but sometimes it's simple, like this. This is the kind of thing that feels like any group of friends could be doing on Halloween, and that's one of the things that I really appreciate about the show as a whole. So, Rigby tells this story, and again, it's fine. Basically, he buys a bed from the IKEA-esque store of the universe of regular show, which in this episode is You Make, but there's also House Warehouse in a different episode, so I assume that's also supposed to be IKEA, so I don't know if it's just two different brands, or if it's two completely different... If it's two different brands, or if it's two completely different stores, I really don't know, but again, in this episode, it's You Make, so... He orders a bed, and it takes him, like, 12 hours, 3 tries, and Skips, and he finally gets it put together. I guess Skips gets it put together, because he has to have him come up and help. And when he finally does, he lays down in bed, and he turns on the TV, and he finds out that a serial killer, Johnny Allen Wrench, was killed during a shootout and accidentally manufactured into a bed. And guess who got the bed with the killer in it? It's Rigby. So the bed comes to life and it attacks him, but before he can kill Rigby, Benson offers him a job, saying that if he works for the park, he won't have to run anymore. So cut to the next morning, and this bed is watering flowers. And Rigby yells at everybody, and they come with axes, and they chop down the bed guy thing. This story kind of feels like it could have been a real episode of the show. I mean, Benson's a gumball machine, so it's not totally outrageous in this universe for weird stuff to be, like, you know, for weird talking things to exist, like a talking vending machine, or like Skips is a Yeti or whatever. Like, it's just, it wouldn't be completely out of the ordinary for, like, a bed to be working at the park, but meh. This story feels very Rigby. It feels like something that would only happen to him, or maybe just something that he would think is scary. Again, overall, okay story, but not super scary or anything in my opinion. Although I do appreciate the idea of a bed working at the park, because again, that's not something totally outrageous for the context of regular show. Number 16, previous owner. I just want to say that this the name of the main character of this episode, or story, I guess, is Jebediah Townhouse, and I really appreciate that name. It's just, it's funny. I appreciate it. Okay, so this story is from season 5, where they're betting candy to see who can tell the best story, but also this story is told by Benson. His story starts at a morning meeting where he tells everybody that they shouldn't be in the house tonight because a 200-year-old poltergeist will be haunting the house at midnight. The ghost of the previous owner of the house, Jebediah Townhouse. And again, that name, top tier. Absolutely great. Jebediah Townhouse lived in the 1800s, but he used slang that was popular in the 1980s. When his village threatened to kill him for witchcraft, he infused his soul into the house and said that he'd be back in 200 years to prove that people would be talking like him. So Benson leaves, and the guys all pitch in $20 to see who can stay in the house the longest while it's being haunted. Everyone gets picked off one by one until they're gone. This episode is fun because when we cut back to the guys all sitting around telling scary stories, Pops is on the phone with Mr. Maylard, confirming that Jebediah Townhouse was real and that he is coming back to haunt the house. And that's how this episode ends. And I think that's really cool. Having a story turned out to be true is kind of a cool plot twist. Jebediah Townhouse, like, is a table, and he, like, eats somebody, and then, like, everybody runs out of the house, and then he just, like, becomes the house. And he says some weird 80s slang thing, and then that's like the end of the episode, but it's fun. I think that's really fun. The concept of that episode is really cool in general, and I love the name Jebediah Townhouse, obviously, but also I just think that that's the only time where one of the scary stories that they're telling turns out to be true, except for, I mean, maybe the story that I have for number 2, In the House, because then it turns out that at the end, Rigby is the wizard. Number 15, Death Metal Crash Pit. This, meh, again, this is like an okay story, but it's not my fave. This story is from season 3, and it's told by Muscle Man. This is another example of a story that has some classic regular show charm. There's something really fun about the Crash Pit. It's essentially the foundation of Muscle Man's friendship with High Five Ghost. Also, in general, the idea of having a crash pit is really fun. I'd love to have a giant crater in the middle of the park to crash old cars into. Not just, like, a park. I just would love to have a giant crater somewhere to crash old cars into, or throw stuff that you don't ever want to see again into it. It would just be fun. And because the crash pit is so pivotal to the friendship of Muscle Man and High Five Ghost, I just wanted something more from this story. I know in the show they do eventually fill in the crash pit, but I almost feel like that idea is scarier, especially for these two. This is the thing that brought you together, and it's gonna be gone. I don't know, for me, I feel like that would be scarier than finding an RV being haunted by a death metal band. I don't know. But also, maybe the thought of that is a little bit more mature than what they wanted in the show in a season 3, so whatever, that's just my opinion. I mean, at the end of the story, Muscle Man does technically die, but not really, because it's just a story. And that kind of brings the origins of their friendship full circle in a way, because when they first became friends, quote-unquote, they almost died together in the crash pit, and then, you know, to actually die in the crash pit at the end of a scary story, that's kind of a full circle moment. But it's just, this story is not my favorite. So basically, it's because the very first episode of Terror Tales is set up kind of weird, and I'll talk about this when I talk about the very first story from this episode, because it's not set up in the same way that the other episodes of Terror Tales are. This one is the very first episode of this series of episodes called Terror Tales, but it's not set up like they're telling scary stories. The very first story of the first episode is just, it's set up like a normal day at the park, and then after everything happens, then it cuts back to everybody sitting around in the living room, and then it's revealed that they're just telling scary stories, and everything that just happened to Pops and the guys didn't actually happen, it was just a story. So then this story is set up where Muscle Man and Fives leave because Pops told a really lame story, and they're like, you know what, forget this, we're just gonna go home. And they're walking around in this fog, and Muscle Man stubs his foot on like a rock, and so he picks it up and he throws it, and he hits something, and he thinks it's their trailer, but it's not, it's just an old busted up RV. So they go in and they find it, and they find the key, and it turns on, and so Muscle Man says, ooh, let's like drive this into the crash pit. So he calls somebody, and he brings a bunch of people to watch them crash stuff into the crash pit, which honestly is like one of the, I would love just like a full episode of like just them crashing things into the crash pit. It's one of the few times that I think Muscle Man's character like works the way that he is when he's crashing things into the crash pit. I don't know. So anyway, they decide to drive this RV into the crash pit, and as they're driving it towards the pit, they like get attacked by this group of ghosts who is a former metal band that is haunting this RV because I don't know if this is where they died or what, but this is their final resting place, so this is where they are, and they don't want Muscle Man to crash their RV into the crash pit, you know, understandably so. And Muscle Man is trying to figure out a way to get them to let him go, so he says, we can't crash yet, we always put on a rock show before we crash the vehicle or whatever into the crash pit. So they get up on top of their RV and lock Muscle Man and Fives inside, and they put on a really crappy show, and everybody hates it and they're booing, but Muscle Man and Fives can't get out of the RV, so eventually Muscle Man finds, like, he just finds a cinder block in the back of this RV, I don't know why it's there, and he throws it onto the gas pedal, and he's like, you know what, if this is how we go out, this is how we go out, and it just, like, into the crash pit, and then the already dead metal band is just, like, laying on the floor of the crash pit, and the RV crashes on top of them, and then it creates, like, this giant green mushroom cloud that, like, evaporates everyone's skin off their faces. It's kind of a cool, that's honestly one of the creepiest parts of this whole episode. It's like not quite as intense as the end of book 3 of Infinity Train, no spoilers, but like it's still kind of on that same level because you just like watch everyone's skin go and just like evaporate. I think one guy's eyes pop out of his head, but anyway, and then it's like revealed that Muscle Man died. And he's like, oh crap, am I dead? And High Fives is like, yeah. But like, again, it's really unclear if Fives is already dead or not because he's a ghost, but like he was born a ghost, so I don't really know how that works. But anyway, that's kind of how this story ends. And then it like flashes back to the guys being in the house, and Muscle Man's like, there you go, that's how you tell a scary story. And then the episode kind of ends, and it plays like, it plays like 2 seconds of like the end credits of the show, and then it immediately starts another episode, or what looks like it's going to be another episode, but it's not. It's another scary story. Just the first episode of Terror Tales is very strange. It's just set up really weird. So anyway, that story, Killer Crash Pit? Death Metal Crash Pit, sorry, is like, again, it's okay. It's fine. It's just not great. Although I do love the idea of the crash pit. Just as a concept, it's really fun. So anyway, that was number 15. I feel like I spent way too much time on that. We're gonna move on. All right, number 14 is King-Sized Candy Bars. This story is from season 8, and honestly, season 8 is my favorite installment of Terror Tales. The gang is in space at this point, and I think they use that really well in the telling of their stories, but this one was kind of all over the place. It had too many elements, so it didn't really fit. This is Eileen's story, and honestly, it might be her first and only story that she has ever told for Terror Tales, but it involves everyone going trick-or-treating at all the different park domes on the space tree. And that sentence is probably really confusing if you haven't seen regular show all the way to the end, but in context, trust me, that makes sense. So, yeah, okay, so they're going trick-or-treating on the different domes. So they find a dome that's giving out king-size candy bars, but it's quarantined due to an umpire infestation. And as soon as they go inside, something blows the warning sign, and we see that it says vampire infestation. We love some dramatic irony here. So anyway, at the end of the story, they all end up getting turned into vampires, and I feel like we could all kind of see that coming. And again, it started out really promising, and this episode as a whole does really well with playing with the idea that they're all in space, but I just wish that they had done something a little bit more with Eileen's story. Either stick with the idea that we're going trick-or-treating to the different domes. I feel like that could have set up something really cool where, like, every dome has, like, a different scary thing that's happening inside of it or something. Or only stick with the vampire thing. Like, I feel like vampires and trick-or-treating to the different domes is, like, two completely different, like, elements of storytelling, and we were just trying to mix too many things together. But, you know, episode 8 as a whole is really, really fun. It was just, this story was kind of, like, meh. And again, it was Eileen's first story that she had ever told, so maybe that's part of it. All right, number 13 is Chocolatude, I'm assuming. It's like chocolate and attitude, like, combined into one word, and so I'm assuming it's Chocolatude, but I do not know that for sure. So this is another story from season 7. This is the season with Racky the Wishmaker, and this is Rigby's wish. He wishes that he could have been more popular as a kid. Also, this is the very last story of the episode, so Racky makes everyone watch. It doesn't affect the plot at all. It's just a detail that I thought was worth mentioning. So, the wish opens on Mordecai and Rigby trick-or-treating as kids. Not really sure how old they are. Maybe like 11 or 12. I really don't know. Mordecai is dressed as Super Mordecai, but his mom makes him wear layers because it's supposed to be chilly. And he gets picked on. And Rigby is dressed as their favorite TV character, RGB2, who is basically a talking TV on an old rolling cart with arms and a face. And again, if you haven't seen Regular Show, that won't make any sense. But if you have, it makes sense in context of the show. There's just some really weird characters in here, man. That's what I'm saying. It wouldn't be completely out of the ordinary for a talking bed to be working at the park. I'm just really trying hard to pitch this. Let's have a bed work at the park in this TV show that's been over for like 6 years. Let's go. Let's make this happen. So anyway, some kids dare Rigby to go take candy from this creepy looking house, and when he does, he takes more than one piece to seem like he's cool. An old woman dressed as a witch comes out of the house and snatches Mordecai and Rigby, and she takes them into her basement and gives them chocolate bars that are shaped like body parts. When they eat it, they remark about how good it tastes, and the woman replies that it's homemade and that's what makes it really special. After they eat a few bites, Mordecai's hand starts to turn to chocolate. And it takes over the rest of his body really quickly. The woman picks him up and tosses him into this machine that turns him completely into chocolate. And then Rigby runs away because, you know, that would freak you out if your best friend just turned into chocolate. As Rigby gets out of the house and he starts to make his way down the street, he gets really stiff and he also turns to chocolate. A group of kids gather around to eat him, and I honestly don't know if they just saw him turn to chocolate and they don't care, or if they just think it's a giant chocolate bar that's shaped like Rigby. But either way, it's kind of gross and a little bit unsettling. Alright, so typing this out, the idea of that seemed way spookier than it is portrayed in the show, and maybe it deserves to be a little bit higher on this list, but in the show, it's just one of those things that would only happen on Regular Show. It would be something that could only happen to Mordecai and Rigby. And I guess my main issue with the story is that I don't really see how that made Rigby any more popular, other than the fact that this big group of kids gathered around to eat his chocolate body after he turned into chocolate. Like, I don't know. Again, it sounds way creepier than it really is in the show. This is pretty close to the middle of the list, and honestly, this could have been a little bit farther down, but I had a really hard time coming up with these rankings, because again, I didn't really have a, like a rubric or a criteria. I was just like, this one is bad, and this one is okay. And that's kind of how I made this list. But again, I watched all of them many times over, so I'm pretty confident in where these list just... This one could, again, it sounds creepier than it really is. And I think part of that is because it's animated. Like, if this was a, not like a live action, but like, if maybe if it was animated differently, it would be a little bit creepier. Or like, I don't know, you could have, if they wanted it to be creepier, they could have set the tone for it to be a little bit creepier, but they didn't. So it's just kind of a fun, only on Regular Show kind of a thing. And, you know, it's fine. All right, number 12, Unfinished Business. This story is from season 6. In this season, the crew is on their way to meet Muscle Man's mom, but Muscle Man said that he would only take them if they told scary stories the whole way. So this story is Benson's, and I want to mention up top that the story I picked to be number 1 has a very similar plot twist, but this one seemed a little bit sillier than the story that I picked for number 1. Also, the story I picked for number 1 actually scared me the first time that I saw it, so that's the main reason why it's number 1 and not this one, because this one's just kind of like, oh, it's funny. So Benson tells a story that starts with Mordecai and Rigby being dead. They died while trying to haunt the house, which I assume just means decorate for Halloween, but I don't really know. So Muscle Man points out that now they have unfinished business, and Benson is going to have to fire them to make them move on. The rest of the story is Benson running around trying to fire them, but he keeps getting scared because the guys keep morphing into these really scary creatures. And it kind of gives me Beetlejuice vibes, the like kinds of characters that they turn into, or creatures, I guess. I don't know, something about it just like gives me Beetlejuice vibes, so just throwing that out there. When he finally, hello? Oh, I skipped it. We skipped a paragraph. He does eventually fire them, and when he does, it's revealed that he was dead the whole time, and he's actually been doing a really poor job haunting the house. It's like the whole episode is set up where Benson is running around and he's being scared by Mordecai and Rigby, but actually, like, because they're turning into these, like, scary creatures, but actually what's happening, it, like, cuts back and, it, like, shows him going around, like, attempting to fire Mordecai and Rigby, but he'll just, like, appear out of the stairs and then look at Mordecai and then be like, ah! And, like, run away. Or, like, there's one where he like pops out of the table while Rigby's eating breakfast and like looks at Rigby and Rigby's just eating cereal, and then Benson's like, ah, and he like runs away. It's funny. It's funnier than it is scary. But I appreciate the way that the story was told. It just wasn't necessarily scary. So when he finishes his story, everyone kind of gives him crap because that twist has been done so much. And honestly, I agree with their point, but also for me, the story kind of lost its spooky factor when they showed what was really happening. And again, I've already explained that, so I'm not going to go back through that. If they had just revealed that he was dead the whole time and then ended the story, I would have liked it a lot more instead of going back and showing him being scared of Mordecai and Rigby when he's in fact the ghost. I think just ending the story, saying that he was dead the whole time, would have been more effective than going back and showing what was actually going on. So, I've said my piece about this episode. Or this story. I keep saying episode. It's not a full episode. It's just like a 6-minute snippet of a story. That's all that it is. It's not a full episode. Number 11 is Creepy Doll, and this is the very first story from the very first installment of Terror Tales, and this story gets points because it's set up like a normal episode, and everything about it seems like it's something that could happen at the park. So, Mordecai and Rigby are helping Pops clean out his room, and the very last box that they're, like, cleaning, they find Pops' old doll, Percy, and he's one of those dolls that has a pull cord, and he says a few things. He's really creepy looking, and Pops pulls the string, and the first thing he says is, I'm gonna draw on your face. And the guys convince Pops that it's not cool for a grown man to play with dolls, so Pops gets rid of Percy. And the next day, they find Pops on the swings with Percy, and when he turns around, he has marker all over his face, and when they ask him about it, Pops said that Percy did it. Mordecai and Rigby offer to get rid of Percy for Pops, assuming that he just didn't have the guts to do it the first time. While the guys are playing video games, they hear some noise upstairs, and they assume it's Pops being upset because they threw his doll away. So they go to check on him, but the door is locked. Mordecai looks through the keyhole, and he sees Percy and Pops are having a tea party. Pops offers Percy some tea, and Percy slaps the teapot out of his hand, saying that he just wants a draw on his face. Mordecai and Rigby burst in, and they shoo Percy away, and he runs into the basement. So the guys run after him, and Percy ambushes them and knocks all the guys, well, not all the guys, he knocks out Mordecai and Rigby. And then he tells Pops to hand him the marker, and Pops finally says no, that it's not cool for a grown man to play with dolls. And then Pops runs at Percy and kicks him into the furnace. And then the next scene cuts to everybody sitting around the house, and everyone's like, I guess that was kind of scary, because again, this was set up like a normal episode, and even if it hadn't been set up that way, I still think it's a pretty solid story. Any story with a living doll is pretty creepy in my book. Again, this story gets props because it wasn't set up like what the following episodes of Terror Tales, it didn't follow the same formula, and because of that, I think it gets creep points. For me, anyway. Again, this is my opinion. Nothing about this is factual. Number 10, The Hole. This is from season 6 when they're going to meet Muscle Man's mom. This is another story told by Pops. He's actually a pretty decent storyteller. This is one that I think could be a full 11-minute episode on its own, or also the plot of a real horror movie. I'm sure it's been done, but I just like this idea. So in the story, they're at a Halloween party, and they're mingling around in the kitchen, and then Benson rings a little bell, and he says it's time. Every year they draw names from a pumpkin, and whoever is last, it's their turn. They go through drawing the names, and Pops is the only one whose name wasn't drawn, so he gets scared and runs, and everyone else chases after him. He runs into the forest, and when everyone catches up to him, he begs them not to do this. Also, he mentions that this has happened to Fives, and we see Thomas's skeleton on the ground, so this has been going on for at least 2 years. There has been a weird fog around the park, and ever since it came in, there's been a hole in the ground, and somehow they decided that if they were going to survive, one of them had to be sacrificed to the hole, and this year, it's Pops. He tries to tell them that they can just leave the park, and Benson says they don't know what's out there. Pops makes a really heartfelt speech about the life before the hole, and Benson shoves him into it. Pops' head is too big to fit all the way into the hole, so he just kind of gets stuck there. Kind of like the really, really old, like the original Adventures of Winnie the Pooh from like 1972, when Pooh's butt gets stuck in Rabbit's house. It's like the opposite end of that, where like only Pops' head gets stuck in this hole, as opposed to Pooh's butt. And then Rabbit makes a functional and decorative shelf out of Pooh's butt. I love Pooh. I'm going to do a full episode on the new Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, and I'm really excited for that one also. Okay, we're going to get back into this. Okay, so Pops' head gets stuck in the ground. The next scene shows everyone sitting around drinking tea, and when Pops asks where they got it, Mordecai says that they were able to leave the park and nothing bad happened. And that's pretty much how the story ends. Not a really solid ending, but overall a pretty solid story, in my opinion. When it flashes back to everyone in the car, Muscle Man says, "No offense, Pops, but I said scary story, not reimaginings of classic literature." And I had to look up what he was talking about, and according to the regular show wiki page, The Hole is referencing The Lottery by Shirley Jackson. I've never read it, but now I kind of want to, just to see how the story parallels. This kind of gives me Hunger Game vibes too, because they're like drawing the names to see who's going to be sacrificed next. Anyway, you know, whatever. Solid story, I think. Number 9, Mr. Boss Man. This is from season 7 with Racky the Wishmaker. Benson wishes that he could motivate Mordecai and Rigby at work. Also, this one and Creepy Doll are pretty interchangeable for me. This one is kind of on the same lines as that dummy from the Goosebumps book, so it's just a little bit scarier in my head. Benson catches the guys watching TV while they're supposed to be mowing the lawn, and when he goes, when he finally gets them out of the house, a commercial comes on from Mr. Boss Man, a puppet that motivates your workers so you don't have to. Benson gets Mr. Boss Man, and he works, but then he turns out to be evil and have a mind of his own. Most of the scary factor comes just from that inherent fear that a lot of us have, that something that looks so human would be able to move on its own. It's just the idea of a doll being able to move like that is very unsettling. Also, there's a Twilight Zone episode with Tina the talking doll, who is equally as creepy for the same reasons, where it just kind of has a mind of its own and it kind of freaks you out. So the guys end up helping Benson defeat Mr. Boss Man, and he tells them that they're both so smart, and that scares him enough to let go of Racky. So this story gets points in my book for being scary to the characters in the show, even if it is Benson, and I'm giving it points for actually being kind of creepy. Another pretty solid story. Number 8, Wallpaper Man. This is from season 4, while everyone is on the way to the big Halloween party. This is a Benson story. Side note, after, like, while this is happening, they've just gotten into, no. Is this after they, this is after they wreck the van, and, everybody's begging for another story, and Benson's like, alright, cool, well, I'll tell a story, and listen close, because you just might learn something. That's what he says, and that's what, like, cues the story. Anyway. This one starts in honestly one of the best ways, because it's again set up like another day at the park. Nothing about this story is set up to be scary. The first scene of this story is Rigby giggling and saying pickles, which is classic regular show, and I love it. So anyway, the guys come out of their bedroom and Benson tells them that they have to re-wallpaper the house because they tore a hole in some wallpaper and that pattern is discontinued. So they try, but the directions are really complicated and they're just about to give up when a commercial comes on TV for Jam the Wallpaper Man, and he offers to do the entire house in wallpaper for free. And they hire him and he ends up doing a pretty good job. This story has a lot of twists and turns, but basically Jan turns out to be a giant spider, and again, only in regular show, and Mordecai and Rigby have to defeat him using some grenades that Muscle Man got in the mail. It's a really fun story. I just like this one. Again, one of those things that could only happen in regular show, but that's kind of what part of what makes it so good, is it's got that classic regular show charm. Number 7, Party Bus. This is also from season 4. This one is told by Margaret via speakerphone when she calls Mordecai to see where they are, if they're on their way to the party yet. And this is another story that feels like it could be a full 11-minute episode, but beyond that, it also feels like it could be a cool 80s horror film, either filmed in the 80s or set in the 80s, but it gives me 80s vibes. So like I said, Margaret tells this story. She and Mordecai, Eileen, and Rigby are all going to see a scary movie on Halloween. Benson says that they can't use the golf cart, and Margaret's car is in the shop, so they have no way to get to the theater. Eileen calls a taxi, and as soon as she hangs up, a party bus pulls out in front of the house. So they get into the party bus, and before they do, the camera zooms in, and on the side of the bus, the slogan for this company says, "This party is killer." So they climb on and they join the party. The bus is full of people who all seem to be wearing white wigs, which is kind of weird, but you know, it's fine. So the bus passes the theater, and when Margaret runs to tell the driver to stop the bus, he says that the party's just getting started, and then he's revealed to be a skeleton. When she goes back to find everybody, all the people that were on the bus are aging really fast, so it turns out they weren't wearing white wigs, they were just getting really old. Everyone on the bus turns to dust, except for Eileen, Rigby, Mordecai, and Margaret, but they're also aging really quickly. So they run up to the front of the bus to try to stop it, but the only thing Mordecai can do is throw it in reverse, which kind of works, but now they're all getting younger, so it has the opposite effect. So they run to the back of the bus, and they make it to the top, and by the time they jump off, they're babies, and then by the time they actually get off the bus, they're, like, so young that they don't exist anymore, I guess? I don't really know what happens, but they get super small and they just like, and they're gone. They just like turn to dust, I guess. I don't know. So then Margaret says, "Get it? The party's killer." And I just really like this episode. It feels equal parts only in regular show and also, oh wow, this would be a really cool horror movie. And I like that. Number 6, Roommate. This is another story from season 8. Again, by this time in the story, the gang is in space, and I really like this episode because honestly, they could have done a bad roommate story at any point in the show up until now, but the fact that they waited until they were in space, I think makes it a lot better. So this is a Rigby story. The gang is running low on money, so they decide that they need another roommate in the house. They do a bunch of interviews, and they end up picking an alien named Susan. Side note, it's not ever, like, said, but on her boxes when she moves in, her last name is Acid Butt. So, that comes into play later, because she, like, spews acid, but, you know, her name is... It's not Susan, it's Shannon. Shannon Acid Butt. That's it. Okay. I typed that wrong. So, anyway... So they pick Shannon because she's the only one who can afford to pay the rent. And at first it's not so bad, but she turns out to kind of be a pain. She takes really long showers, she doesn't do chores, and she spends most of her time watching TV. She pays everybody off so they don't try to evict her. But eventually everybody gets sick of it, and they tell her that she has to leave. And she gets mad and hides in the ductwork of the dome. And everybody tries to hunt her down, but they can't find her. Muscle Man comes up with a really complicated plan to get her out and basically eject her into space. And it almost works, but Muscle Man ends up getting pulled into space with her. Again, I like this story because they could have done a bad roommate story at any point, but the fact that they saved it for season 8 gave them a lot more room to be creative with where the story went, and I love that the bad roommate turned out to be an alien. I think that's really clever. Number 5, Scary Movie Night. This is from season 6. This is the last story from this episode, and Rigby tells it. It's a pretty simple premise, really. They're all watching scary movies, they being Mordecai, Rigby, Eileen, and CJ at this point, because it's in season 6. They're watching scary movies, and Rigby tells them that he rented a movie called Triple Threat, and it's supposed to be the scariest movie of all time because it's across several genres. a slasher flick, black and white classic horror, and Japanese. I have no idea what that's supposed to mean. Just like Japan is scary. I don't know. But anyway, Japan is specifically mentioned as one of the like genres of film that they reference. So they pop the tape into the VCR, and after a few minutes the power goes out, and then they all get sucked into the movie. And in order to survive, they have to make it to the end of the movie. It's basically them having common sense over the characters in the movie. Don't go into a mental asylum for a haircut. If you know that there's a monster in the woods, don't go outside, you know, etc. I just really wanted to talk about the end of this story when they're running through the end credits of the movie. The tape was created by Ball Lightning, and it also appears during the end credits. It tried to zap CJ at one point, and it's a mad dash to get to the end. So Eileen makes a lightning rod from the front of the VCR, and it zaps her, and then Rigby yells and goes over to save her, and it's just really, really sweet. I don't remember at this point in the series if they had been established, like, as a couple in the canon yet, but I really appreciate this little Wrigleyan moment. We stan. Overall, yeah, I think this is a pretty solid story. I probably didn't sell it very well, but the story is really good. It feels like a scary story that anyone would tell, but also something that would only happen in regular show, so I think it's pretty solid. Number four, this is the last story from season 8, and I feel like just from the title, you can kind of tell where the story is going to go. I really just wanted to talk about what is happening in this episode around this story, but I will get there in a second. So Skips tells this story. They're flying around when they run out of gas in Skips's van slash converted into a spaceship thing. They have to land on Fear Planet, a planet that causes all your fears to come to life. And again, I feel like you can probably tell where this is going. It's pretty straightforward. They all get picked off by their fears one by one. It's a cool concept because they're in space. And while I do think that is fun, at the end of this episode, the dome gets sucked into a black hole and they all panic and wonder what will happen. One theory is that when you get sucked into a black hole, you get pulled and stretched like spaghetti. This phenomenon is called spaghettification. And I'm not an astrophysicist, so I don't know if anyone has confirmed that that is really what happens. But that's what happens in the show. And not only that, but when they're stretched and spaghettified, they are then eaten by real astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson. And it's just a really fun cameo and a fun way to end a space-themed Terror Tales episode. 10 out of 10, this is my favorite ending. Number 3, Jacked Up Jack-O-Lantern. This is Muscle Man's story from season 5. This is another one that I feel like could be a horror movie, and it feels kind of familiar, so maybe it is, but either way, this is a really good story. So the guys are out smashing pumpkins after Halloween. This, the very last one that they smash is really, really big, so they drive the golf cart into it to smash it, and then they keep driving and they end up in a pumpkin patch. Muscle Man suggests that they smash all the pumpkins because Benson said to smash all the pumpkins. So they start smashing, and in the middle of the patch are these two scarecrows with pumpkin heads and a sign that says, "Smash whatever you want, but leave these two scarecrow lovers alone." And I don't remember who, but somebody smashes the woman scarecrow, and then Fives goes to smash the guy scarecrow, but the scarecrow grabs him and turns him into a pumpkin and smashes Fives. And then the rest of the story is just the other three guys running or trying to run away from the scarecrow guy. He eventually catches all of them and he takes seeds from each of them and tosses them around the pumpkin patch. And then the next Halloween, pumpkins grow in the shape of all four guys' heads, and then they're like arguing over who is gonna get picked. And it's fun. It's a fun way to end it. Again, the end is kind of silly, but the rest of the story is pretty scary. I really think that this could be a full horror movie if it isn't already. Or again, another full 11-minute episode, because I think it has the potential to be that. Number 2, In the House. This story and the story that I picked for number 1, I honestly had a really hard time choosing between. I actually had this one ranked way lower originally, but then after I watched it again, I moved it because it's just really, really good. It's, again, one of those things that could only happen in regular show, but that's part of what makes it so good. And honestly, I'm glad that it's animated, because seeing anyone turn into a house would be super weird and creepy if it was under any other circumstance. So this story starts with Mordecai and Rigby out trick-or-treating, and Rigby tries to get some candy from a house, but when he knocks on the door, the person turns their lights off. So he decides that he's gonna egg the house as payback. When he gets done, the door flies open and a wizard comes out and puts a curse on Rigby for egging his house. Over the course of the next day or two-ish, Rigby starts seeing the wizard guy everywhere, and he finally decides to go apologize to the wizard, and he starts turning into a house. like, Rigby grows an address plaque thing and a doorknob out of his chest, and then his tail turns into a chimney. It's really weird. It happens very quickly. So Mordecai goes into town to try to find the wizard and bring him to Rigby, but he isn't home. So Skips calls Mordecai back to the park because now Rigby is morphing into a house. By the time Mordecai gets back, Rigby is full house. I typed that, and y'all, I laughed so hard when I typed that out because I thought it was so funny. It might just be because it's like, it is now 3:15 a.m. and it might just be funny to me, but Rigby is now full house. Like, he's fully transformed into a house. He's just a house with a head. So the gang goes inside and they're walking around trying to figure out what to do, and the phone rings. So Pops answers it and he puts it on speakerphone, and it's the wizard, and he says that everything is just getting started, and Benson tries to cut him off, but he reaches through the phone and chokes Benson. So Skips rips the phone out of the wall and they all decide that they're going to stand guard and wait for the wizard to show his face here. He does show, and everybody slowly gets picked off one by one. And honestly, this is where it gets kind of creepy. A car pulls up outside, and Muscle Man goes out, and he gets pulled into the forest. And then a few seconds later, there's a knock on the door, and it's Muscle Man, but he's literally just muscle. Like, all of his skin is gone. And again, I'm glad this is animated, because it would be really freaky if it wasn't. Or if it was like an anime. Like, if it was a different style of animation, I feel like it would be creepier than what it really is. The phone rings and Fives goes to answer it. Yes, the phone that Skips already ripped out of the wall is ringing. Fives answers the phone and he gets sucked into it and then, like, sprayed back out all over Mordecai and Skips. It's kind of like, again, if you think about it, it's really, really gross. So Benson vomits gumballs, which is kind of a fun idea because he's a gumball machine. And that's, like, the only time that that's ever referenced, that Benson is a gumball machine, is when he vomits gumballs. Okay, again, we're moving on. So Skips gets pulled up through the chimney and then, like, scorched, I guess? Like, a fire ignites in the fireplace as he's getting sucked up through the chimney. Reverse Santa. Benson gets, like, swirly to death, I guess? It just, like, cuts to a scene with him upside down in the toilet bowl, and then there are a bunch of gumballs all over the floor. Pops gets shoved into a wardrobe and then just, like, poofed from existence. I don't really know how that works. And then Mordecai promises to stay with Rigby, and he gets decapitated. So everybody slowly gets picked off one by one. Finally, after losing all of his friends, Rigby apologizes to the wizard. The wizard appears and eggs Rigby, saying this is the revenge for egging his house. And then Rigby's like, that's it? You turned me into a house and killed all my friends just for a little revenge? And then the wizard brings out an enormous egg and cracks it all over Rigby, so he's like drowning in egg. And that's kind of gross. Again, if you really think about it, just sit and think about that for a second. And that's kind of just how the story ends. Honestly, this is one of the most original of the stories, I think. Again, I'm glad that it's animated because I wouldn't want to see half this stuff any other way. Like, no skin Muscle Man is almost enough to give me nightmares like this. I don't need anything more real. Also, I just want to point out that this is season 3, way before Eileen and Rigby were established, but if you look on the mantle inside Rigby the house, there is a framed picture of Eileen, and I really appreciate that foreshadowing. I just wanted to toss that out there. Number 1 is going up. We are finally at number 1. And honestly, after number 2, I feel like this one doesn't even come close. The only reason that this is number 1 is because the first time I saw it, when I watched the show all the way through, it actually kind of freaked me out. I don't know if that's a valid justification of why this is number 1 over In the House, but it is to me. This is my list. This is my opinion. This is Five's wish in season 7, and he wishes that he could see his girlfriend Celia more since she's been traveling for work, and Racky shows him, you know, going to see her, whatever. It's pretty straightforward, and honestly, the twist has been done a ton in horror and just in general, but again, it kind of freaked me out the first time that I saw it. That's why it's number 1. So Fives goes to visit Celia, and she is staying on the 36th floor. I don't remember if she lives on the 36th floor of an apartment complex or if it's the 36th floor of a hotel, but either way, that's quite the hike. So he decides that he's going to take the elevator, and he goes over, and there's a guy that's fixing it, and he asks if the elevator is safe to use, and the guy says, oh sure, it's fine, go ahead and go on up. But he gets, I don't even know how far up he gets, but he gets maybe halfway up there, and he gets stuck. So also, I just want to take a second and mention that Fives has this little mantra that he repeats to himself to keep from panicking immediately, and I feel like we should all adapt this. It is, when you are lost in times of strife, to look around may save your life. Just Take a deep breath, survey the area, make a decision. I really appreciate that. Okay, back into spooky story. So Fives finds a call button and is able to get a hold of the repair guy who says that he's going to fix the elevator. But when he does, it goes down really fast and then it goes up really fast and then back and forth for a few minutes until it finally just kind of like stops on the 36th floor. So the guy comes back over the call button and apologizes, saying he pushed the wrong button or something. I don't remember what he says. He said he like makes an apology and Fives is like, oh, it's fine. You know, whatever. So he gets out of the elevator and he runs into Celia in the hallway and she asks who he was talking to and Five says that he was talking to the elevator repair guy. And then Celia says, the elevator is broken? The repair guy died like 30 years ago. And then they look into the elevator and there's just like a skeleton wearing overalls. And he may or may not turn to dust. I don't remember if that's how that ends. I just remember that there's like a skeleton of this dude in the elevator and they're like, ah. And again, that kind of freaked me out. I know that twist has been done a lot, but honestly, the first time it did kind of scare me. And for a show mostly for kids, where the spooky stories were sometimes just clever at best, I think that this one scaring me is worthy of it being number one. Again, this is my list. These are my opinions. So there we go. All 19 stories from all 6 seasons of Terror Tales of the Park ranked from worst to best, in my opinion. This was a lot of fun to watch these episodes back to back and try to nail this list down. If you're a fan of regular show and have never only watched the Terror Tale episodes, it's really fun. It makes you realize how much stuff happens over the course of a whole season, even if it's not all really plot heavy, because again, that's just not how the show works until the very end, but it's a lot of fun. So that wraps up our first Spooky Month episode. I can't wait for the rest of the month. Come back next week when I will be discussing Gravity Falls, the show that started my journey to discovering all of my new favorite shows like Steven Universe and Amphibia, and also ultimately starting this podcast. So I've been waiting for Gravity Falls for a really long time, and I'm really excited to talk about it. I just finished watching it again, and I forgot how great it is. I've been saving it for Spooky Month time, just because it kind of fits that vibe, and I waited to watch it until like a couple weeks ago because I thought I mean obviously I need to watch it again before I start scripting it, but I just thought it would be fun to watch it again. And yo, honestly, I forgot how good it was. I was reminded again of what makes that show so special. So anyway, stick around next week for Gravity Falls. So I hope you plan to come back next week for more spooky content. Hit me up on Twitter at Kelby_cartoons and let me know what your favorite story from Terror Tales of the Park is. Also, make sure to like us on Facebook and follow us wherever you get your podcasts. That's all I've got for this week. Thanks for listening and happy Saturday, or whatever day it is, whenever you're listening. Happy whatever and happy spooky month.